You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, so welcome back to the third and final hour tonight. And we have had a great, it has been a great show tonight. It has been an odd show. Strange things are afoot in the political cesspool this evening. So if you're tuning in late, you'll know that for the first time in the history of our network, the internet stream stopped working, and it just so happened to stop working during a segment that we're talking about having the political cesspool be censored at public computer terminals and the net neutrality law and the attack being waged against us by the United States Congress. And anyway, we talked about that. We're not going to revisit it, but that happened in the second hour. Everything's great on the broadcast archives. So if you were listening online and you had a few minutes of dead air, it's all there in the archives. It all went out live over the air to the AM FM affiliates. It was just the internet stream that was compromised, and only for a few minutes. Everything got fixed. Everything's going to be great in the archives. You'll see, because Keith wore it out. Let me tell you, Keith kept the show on track in the second hour when I was making calls to Utah. Keith just kept on hosting, and he gave a purely Keith Alexander commentary. It was great work, and it just proves why he's one of our main guys. Another one of our main guys, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who I was beginning to get a little worried about. Now, Eddie really laid it on thick last week, and he gave a very impassioned response to Congress. Eddie said he's going to be here around 7 o'clock tonight. That would have been a little over an hour ago. And I was beginning to worry as we mentioned, there's a lot of ice in the Memphis area. It's been cold. It was -4 earlier in the week here in Memphis, -4 degrees. That's 4 degrees below zero. All this global warming is just about to kill us. And I was concerned. It's dark now. It's been raining all day. It's even colder now than it was when Keith and I got to the radio station tonight. I was concerned with Eddie being an hour late and having not called and it being his time to go on the air and Keith putting on his Grease jacket to leave. You know, Keith has this jacket that he stole from the set of Grease that he wears. You know, he was leaving, and I was like, Keith, I got nothing in my hand, you know. I got nothing to talk about in the third hour. We don't have any guests. I was relying upon Eddie. I said, I think Eddie's run off the road in this ice.
I've never let you down.
And Keith said, well, I hope not. And he was zipping up his jacket, getting ready to go.
Well, you know what?
But then I went out to the parking lot to walk Keith out, and I saw Eddie on his bottom. Because he had slipped down in the ice in the parking lot, and he was picking himself up and picking up his clipboard. You know, he has all these notes he brings in. So you didn't run off the road in the ice, but you sure as hell busted your ass.
You know what? This is the strange thing, people. All you people out there, God bless you. I promise you, when I tell you I love you, that's the God's truth. You should see some of the people I take to buy free lunches. If you could see them in the week, then you would know how much I love you people. But listen. The first, you people that know me, you know I'm a runner. I love it. I'll admit I'm addicted to it. You know, it's like my drug of choice, the runner's high. I have been running all year. I've missed very few days. Like James just said, that's been, you know, below zero, wind chill factor too, and just incredibly cold. Ice everywhere. The first time I have busted my butt this year was tonight, 10 feet from the re-stinking radio show. I was like James said, I was late. I got here several miles here. I had to turn around, go get my notes. I probably could have got by without them. But, you know, I like to be organized as much as possible, which that's not saying much. But I got within 10 feet of the door. I've been running on ice all week long. I busted my record last week, knocked out a 5 mile or less than 47 minutes.
He's running in this, and then I go out. I was concerned his truck could run off the road. I was walking Keith to the parking lot in hopes of finding Eddie, or else I would just be sitting here singing songs to you in the third hour. And then I find Eddie with his papers strewn all over the parking lot, trying to collect himself from falling in the ice. So, but this is what I'm talking about, folks. And we talked about this earlier in the show.
It's live.
Hey, it's live. That's for sure. But hey, listen. Whether we're sick, whether it's 110 degrees or -4, whether it's icy, if we can possibly be here, we will be here to give you the show to the best of our ability. And Eddie's got a lot to talk about tonight. Eddie is spearheading the third hour tonight. And he sent me earlier in the week a partial list. We couldn't get together. I like to try to get together with Keith and Eddie during the week to plan a show. But the ice was so bad in Memphis, no one was driving. All the schools were closed. All the, you know, federal buildings, all the, well, really everything. Even the private businesses were closed. You couldn't go anywhere in Memphis. Completely iced down. I'm telling you, it was 3 inches thick on my street and in my driveway. We couldn't lift if you wanted to. Thank God we had food, or we would have, I guess I'd just starved to death. But so we had to kind of do this plotting over text message and email this week. And Eddie emailed me earlier this week, and he sent me a partial list of items that he believes merits our attention. And it's some stuff we haven't covered, at least in a while, on this show. And I thought Eddie would do a good treatment, or deliver a good treatment on it. So one thing you sent me that I'd really like your take on, because once we all become grown-ups, we suffer. Property taxes and tax on private homes and your homestead. You never really own your property, do you, Eddie? And this is something you want to talk about tonight. Tell us why.
It certainly is. You know, it's really hitting home with me, James. You know, it was a lot of, all of our listeners know I'm getting kind of long with the tooth. And I guess running these marathons and drinking the good whiskey is the only thing that keeps me alive, and lots of coffee. But you're right. You know, all my life, like just about all of you.
People in the chat room, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we're still doing the CFCC chat at CFCC.org. They want to know, how old are you, Eddie?
Well, do I have to put my hand on the Bible? Hey, I will be April the 6th at about 8:45 a.m. I will be 68 years old. I was born on Easter Sunday, 1947. I've always held Easter Sunday, you know, especially sacred, not just because, you know, our Lord and Savior, but because I was born that day, and it's always had special significance to me. But yes, I will be 68 years old. But I can tell you what, I don't think I've ever felt as good as I do in my whole life. I take care of myself. I eat like you're feeding a champion racehorse. And that's, you know, I drink a little Maker's Mark, a little whatever whiskey James has on hand for Pappy, because he knows I like the old, he knows I like Kentucky bourbon. I got to be true to my home state. But yeah, I'll be 68 years old. And I'm enjoying life, having a good time.
And you still got that fire. I mean, if anyone listened to the show last week, you know what we're talking about. But I didn't mean to interrupt you and get you off track.
I love being interrupted.
You know, we got a bunch of people in the chat room. They all get excited when you come on the air, as they should. We were talking about property taxes, though, or you were going to anyway.
And I would like to take this opportunity to, speaking of Congress, I hope you're listening, because I thumped my nose at you, Congress. If you could see me, you'd see the biggest bird you've ever seen in your life. I love. Peeing in your face. But anyway, I'm back on target here. Yeah, you know.
Well, we're coming up on break, so I guess all you can say this segment is what you will talk about in the next segment. Break it down. Yeah. Why you want to talk about property taxes.
Yeah,
we'll try to get this thing back in 5x5. It's been
it's
been a weird show tonight, so we're having trouble focusing.
Well, look who the hosts are, you and me. Look, we're going to talk about the sham of the free America. Oh, we're so wonderful. We're so free. We're the greatest country in the world. We're going to talk about property taxes, Social Security taxes, Medicare, Medicaid. We're going to talk about Homeland Security. We're going to talk about the bogus posturing that, you know, Bonnier's been doing in Congress. The train wreck of the veterans' hospitals. I got a big list right here. We're going to talk about common law is, what force is, et cetera, et cetera. But I guarantee you, we're going to light it up. I got to keep James in control. He gets a little bit too passionate sometimes, because, you know, he's the most passionate one. I'm the nice old grandpa type. We'll see you folks after the break. I'm really looking forward to seeing you. So is James.
That's right. We got three more segments tonight, God willing. Glitch-free. The ADL's got that radio jamming technology. We were talking about that earlier. So we'll be back.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit herbalhealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. Herbalhealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Well, Eddie, we have too much fun when we're on the air. Keith and I sometimes get work done. I mean, you come is just
work,
monkey shines, you know. Unless we're battling with Congress, and last week it got pretty serious and pretty heated, as it should have been. Anyway, let's get down, if we can, these last three segments and focus. It's been hard to focus tonight; a lot going on. A few uncommon circumstances have befallen the cesspool since we have gone on the air. But we have overcome them all, as we always do. And if there was, I guess, one word above all others that I would use to describe the nature of those of us who make the political cesspool happen each and every week, it's perseverance. It's perseverance. But you wanted to talk about property taxes and the freedom or lack thereof that we as law-abiding, tax-paying American citizens enjoy.
Yes, I do. And you know, and just as a brief interlude, me and James, Keith, we have a lot. I mean, you would not believe how much we have going on that we have to fight. And some things are pleasurable. Like, for instance, I just signed up to work for this place called the Church Health Center. I don't know if I told you about that now, James. Mm-hmm. A lot of you people out there, you might know I'm an old registered nurse. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to work. This hate monger, the reason I was here late, I've been out hate mongering all day long. It's so much fun, hate mongering. But I'm going to work for the church health center. And what we do is we give free medical care to people who can't afford it, you know. And 90% of them are so-called minorities. So that's one thing that's got our attention. Of course, you know, this never-ending fundraising for St. Jude. And another thing that hate mongers do here on the cesspool. But, yeah, getting back, just let you know a few things that go on. So I think you people would probably know. I'm sure y'all love us like we love you. You're probably interested in our private life. That's just some of the things we do around here.
Well, we get a lot of emails about that. One of the things that's very endearing about the political cesspool is that we obviously consider our audience to be family. And as family, we share personal and intimate aspects of our lives with our audience. And that's, you know, a bond that we have formed. And I think, you know, it was certainly very palpable at our 10-year anniversary as much as ever. But we feel it each and every night. And hopefully, you know, that can be felt as we beam out our love rays via the internet and to the AMFM affiliate stations. We got to talk about taxes, though. Property taxes. Right. Hit me with it.
One more thing. So I'm getting personal with you, audience.
We're going to run out of time here.
Okay. Hey, this week, James can tell you, I left my church about 2 weeks ago. I just couldn't, you know, over a period. It's over integrity, principles, my core beliefs. During that same time, a child that I've been known since he was 6 years old, he was killed in a horrible accident. And I'm telling you what, people, it's really thrown me for a loop. I may not be my total self tonight, but I had to go. I held him in my arms and kissed him as they were getting ready to unplug him from the vent and let him go. And that's one of the hardest things. It was harder than the night my own dad was killed by the police, I may add. Well, getting back, okay, let's see.
That's a story for another show right there, it sounds like.
I'm telling you.
Keep on going.
My dad, if you think I'm wild, you should have been around him. Good God. But anyway, getting back, like me and James was talking earlier, you know, you really and truly never own anything here in the land of the brave and home of the free. Well, you don't. In my case, and it's going to be in your case too, all your working life, James is slugging it through it right now, me to a lesser extent, you pay your Social Security tax, you know, your Medicaid, your Medicare tax. And, okay, and you pay these taxes all your life. And when you go get your Social Security, start getting your Social Security checks, it's taxed again. You know, that Social Security check that you get out that the government's supposed to be giving you, you've probably paid in, God knows how much, $5 or $10 from one to every dollar you get out. The other checks you get out, the government, the IRS, they just rape it. And here's a thing that really galls me. Your home dwelling. You know, the place that you have your roof over your head should never, ever be taxed. They tax that, folks, as you well know. And like I said, I'll be 68 years old, and they're still taxing me.
Well, they even tax food and water, the very
elements
of life.
Oh, that's right. They tax for here in Shelby County in Memphis, Tennessee. We pay some of the highest sales taxes in the nation. And I mean, it's a tax on food. You're a lot on the bread of life, the staff of life, 10%, you know, and if you think that the government will not throw you out of your house, get behind on your taxes. I can't tell you how many old people I've seen kicked out of their houses here in these good United States of America that was so wonderful, was so free, you know, but that, you know what, people, we should never, ever have to pay taxes on our homes. Another thing that really bugs me is, before I get to the shambles of the VA, now I will have to say here, the Veterans Hospital here in Memphis, Tennessee, they have given me stellar treatment. I wouldn't be alive today without being treated by the VA. So I will have to salute the Veterans Hospital here in Memphis, Tennessee, with a great shout out. I think the young people call it a shout out. But the VA here in Memphis has been nothing but stellar. I choose them over a Baptist or Methodist, but from the reports I'm getting nationwide, the VA hospital is pretty much of a shambles. They deny a lot of injuries that guys have suffered in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan, God only knows where else. You want to classify every disease you can think of, you know, that you get from chemicals. One of the most famous chemicals is probably Agent Orange. I'm well aware of that, know all about it. But, you know, you come in there with some kind of a psychiatric illness or physical illness, they always want to classify it, you know, as post-traumatic stress syndrome. They always want to classify it as some kind of psychosomatic disease. And they want to load you up on psychotropic drugs, which I was on for several years. And had I stayed on them and not taken myself off of them, I'm sure I would probably be dead now, because those drugs are very habit-forming. They're very dangerous. One that I was on, anti-seizure medication, is extremely dangerous, you know, if you die of liver failure or you die of the seizure. So I just finally weaned myself off of that. But my heart really goes out to veterans that don't get the stellar treatment I've gotten here in Memphis, Tennessee. But And I'm just covering the menagerie of stuff tonight. And as you always, if you've always listened to me, you'll always know that I always try to come up with some kind of solution to these problems. Meanwhile, I'd like to allude back to the bogus posturing of this Bonnier. What's his name? The clown's name?
John Boehner.
Yeah. You know, he's up there saying that they're going to defund Homeland Security. They're fighting back and forth about that. That's just a sham. That's just a choreographed, you know, dance between the Demopubs and the Republicrats. And as you well know, people, Homeland Security was put in right after the Twin Towers, I believe, James, right after 9/11. And it was supposed to be a response to the godless Muslim, the godless, you know, Arabs that came in and killed our bomb, you know, knocked down the trade centers. But, you know, everybody in the know knows that that was an inside job. That was just an excuse. It was a controlled demolition. If you don't believe it, look at all the evidence. Look at, for instance, I hope I don't get too far off a rabbit trail, but for instance, building number 7 in the World Trade Center complex was never touched. You may not know this, James. It was never touched by any part of a plane, no shrapnel, not when the window was brought out.
Well, I would say that's probably only slightly removed from property taxes, Eddie.
Yeah, well, we're getting there. But, you know, but at the same time when Bonnier's talking about this, you know, Homeland Security, they're talking about repelling, to getting rid of the illegal aliens. Well, then Obama and the other Republicrats started saying, well, we can't afford to get rid of them. Well, this gets back with the taxes, folks. You know, they started talking about how many billions of dollars it would take to round up the illegals and get them out of the United States. And I said, I can't believe they expect people to swallow that. I mean, they think people are that stupid. You know, all you got to do is make it across the Mexican border and drop a kid out, and you've got an anchor baby. We had an anchor baby, a couple of those in the church I just left. And, you know, all these Mexicans, James, all these illegals, they're owned. As soon as they get over here in the United States, they put them up in hotels. They issue them driver's licenses in Arizona. They really do, non-citizens. We'll come back. Hey, folks, we'll come right back, and we'll get back on these good old rabbit trails.
We're going to go hunting tonight, right?
That's right, buddy. But hey, we're going to get to a point, believe it or not.
Before the end of the show, this is Southern Porch Talk. There will be a point, we hope.
I guarantee you. Hey, I can tell you what Sam said about it in a minute.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, after such a serious show last week, and after the problems we had in the second hour, why not have a little bit, no, not necessarily lighthearted hour, but, you know, it is feel more, the atmosphere is a little bit more relaxed with the bombardier in here as it was before. Because I tell you, Keith really nailed it with net neutrality. Just, it's been a great show. They're all great. But anyway, we're here now, and we're chasing some rabbits. We're doing a little Southern Porch talk. We're praying that we'll be able to get home in one piece with all this ice. We're hoping we can just get to the car without breaking a tailbone, right, Eddie?
That's for sure.
Eddie, 68 years old, you took a little spill there in the parking lot, but still were able to
hit it pretty hard. It was kind of embarrassing, and you know, I'm proud of my physical fitness for my age, and I'm known to be, you know, real agile and stuff. But like I was telling our beloved listeners, that's the first time I've fallen this whole year.
Well, what are you gonna do? You gotta fall sometime.
I was late, you know, and I was trying to get, had my mind on other stuff and trying to get to the studio door, and this was going too fast.
Well, can you tell us then? You've covered a little bit. It's Eddie's hour to rant. You know, every now and then we like to just unleash Eddie and take him off his chain and just let him go. And Eddie, you wrote to me that you want to talk about the criminal treatment, these are Eddie's words, of active duty military personnel and the disgraceful condition of the VA hospital system nationwide. Now, you said you like the clinic here in Memphis, the one that you go to. The long and shameful history of full-blown experimental treatments performed on military personnel without their knowledge and sometimes against their will. Now, Eddie speaks from a position of authority, as many of our colleagues in the political cesspool can do. As we mentioned, only Keith and I shirked our duties. And it's, as far as military service is concerned, Eddie served, Winston Smith served, Art Frith served, Scoop Stanton served. So what do you want to tell us about the VA and the criminal treatment of active duty military personnel, et cetera?
Well, James, my son, I served only because they had to grab me. They had to grab me, well, kick and scrape.
There's that to consider.
I got drafted, son.
I know you said, yeah. Eddie got drafted.
I don't volunteer for Jack for the federal government. But yeah,
and God bless you for that.
Yeah, you know, going all the way back to Tuskegee Institute, where they did all kinds of horrible experimentation zone, especially a lot of blacks. Well, they carried those. This has been going on, people, way before I was old enough to be inducted to the military. But here's the shameful treatment I'm talking about. Like I said, going back probably to the First World War, there's been experimental drugs and experimental medicines injected into the bodies of soldiers without their knowledge. It's been going on forever. I saw it when I was in the Army, you know, when I was a medic, and we used to made up our own yellow fever vaccine, our own typhoid and tetanus vaccine. And I would see soldier after soldier going into having seizures, James, and full-blown seizures. But, you know, they inject these guys with all types of, like I said, experimental drugs, and just to see how they react. And you know, it's not always pretty. You know, they have all kinds of side effects from this. It's been, and then they bring it back. They send them over to these illegal wars. And you know, James, I remember back when I was in the Army, having to dip my clothes, even the socks and my underwear and fatigues in 55-gallon drums of God only knows what. But, you know, when I was so young in those days, I never dreamed my own government would harm me intentionally. You know, I tell you, I've heard George Riley talk about that, about her show on the Power Hour. And, she too was a military veteran, James, and she suffered all kinds of side effects.
I did not know that about her.
Yeah, that's true.
I did not know that about her. Eddie's got the fog of war right now.
Yes, I do. But you know, they bring these, they send them, you know, like, and they send these guys all over the world, and they bring you back, and like I said, the VA hospitals are just falling all down and not giving them the proper treatment, James. And meanwhile, they're bringing all these illegal aliens in here and got them on every kind of weapon.
Right. And listen, they don't even have to go to a VA hospital. The illegal aliens don't. They can go to a private hospital, you know, the Baptist, Methodist, whatever. They get full treatment. They get the best of first world health care, and they don't have to pay a dime. You know, it's completely written off. But you go in as a private citizen where they've got your Social Security number. They will hound you until the day you die. And it's not just that. I mean, it is that and more. And we were talking about something that we'll try to tie in with this subject. In the last part of the second hour, we were talking about how that now California is majority non-white, Eddie. I don't know if you were listening on the AM dial as you were driving in tonight on AM 1380 or 1600 here in Memphis. But in California, they have the Black Legislative Caucus, I don't have my notes in front of me about this story anymore, but it was the Asian Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus, of course, the Jewish Legislative Caucus, and the Latino Legislative Caucus, so on and so forth. But there is no white legislative caucus in California state government, even though whites are a minority there as well. They're all minorities. I mean, none of them have a 50% majority. And the point in bringing this up is, we just see how when whites become a minority, all of these goodies and benefits that current minorities receive will no longer apply to us. So not that it applies to us now, but we can't expect to get for ourselves that which has been given to all of these other people. And I tie this in with something else you wanted to mention in your notes that you emailed me earlier this week, and that is that, so you've got all of these non-white legislative bodies, not just in California, mind you, but I bring up California because whites are a minority there as well. And so, therefore, common sense would dictate that they too should have a legislative entity representing them. But, of course, you have this in the federal government as well, and there's no white legislative caucus. And, of course, if you tried to make one, you'd be shouted down as a racist. And, of course, it's great that every other race has it, but not whites. Anyway, you mentioned, and this was something you wanted to talk about, that in addition to that, the U.S. is the only nation that allows foreign nationals, citizens of foreign nations, to hold political office.
That's absolutely right. And was, James, you were talking about just a minute ago about California and the illegals. You can go into, and you can go into, pull up this website called Jose Illegal versus Joe Legal. It'll show you the whole thing in graphs. For instance, in the example, James, that I've studied, the most examples were in California, where we have a tremendous amount of illegals out there. And it showed two construction workers, one legal, you know, Anglo-Saxon, one illegal Mexican. And whereas the Anglo-Saxon made more money on the front end than the illegal, the legal fellow, Joe Legal, has to pay full price for food, full price for rent, full price for, you know, health insurance, full price for his kid's education, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, all these taxes. At the end, you know, poor Joe Legal has very little to get by on. A pittance almost, whereas Jose Illegal has the same amount that he started with. Because these clowns, they get everything handed to them. They get, as soon as they come across the border, we were talking about, they get free rent. You know, they get subsidized housing, subsidized rent, subsidized food. You know, we've got to stop that. But you're right. You're absolutely right there, James. And, you know, I was looking just.
And it's not just that we have foreign nationals, or at least people To be completely clear, at least people who have dual citizenship with America and Israel, for example. But it's not just that we have that. They make the Jewish oligarchs that fund both parties' presidential candidates, they make, probably without much arm twisting, every single candidate, 1 through 8, that get into the primaries. They make them go over and lick the Wailing Wall and wear a yarmulke and completely prostrate themselves and embarrass themselves. How embarrassing to see Rand Paul in a yarmulke, you know, French kissing the Wailing Wall. I mean, that's despicable. That's disgusting. It's sad. It's shameful. I mean, but they make them all do it, and you don't get the money it takes to run a presidential campaign unless you do that. But you can't have a white legislative caucus for European-American, you know, legitimate citizens.
You know what, James? You hit on a hot point there, my man. The fog of war blowing away. But you know what?
Eddie had a concussion. What had happened is he fell on his head out there in the parking lot. He had a concussion. He forgot what he was talking about a minute ago.
Yeah. You know, when you get 68 years old, you do that sometimes. But you know what? I promise you this, people. James, remind me of this, because you're younger, your brain works better. I want to bring you people, you beloved people. When I say you people, please don't take offense. I should say our beloved listeners, our beloved family. And I hope you don't get tired of me telling you I love you. But, you know, that is the second greatest commandment. I'm going to drift off a little bit more just for a second. You know, when the apostles asked Jesus Christ, what is the greatest commandment? He told them it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Well, I can't believe that segment's gone already. You know, we'll come right back.
An hour goes by fast. Life moves fast. What does it say? Is it a Ferris Bueller? We get the fast lane, life moves pretty fast. I'll have to watch that again.
We're going to come back. Remind me to tell you about the list of the high-powered Jews running all the committees in the country. We'll come back. We'll be right back in a minute, folks. Hang tight. We'll give you more rabbit trails.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
It's hard to believe this show's over, and it has been another memorable one. Interesting one. I like shows that keep me on my toes. I was sweating in that second hour there for a minute, but it's all for the best, and we soldier on and we persevere. I think that is the word that I would use to describe us, persevere, or what we do, rather. Eddie, I want to ask you, well, you were mentioning before the last segment, and you were oblivious to the fact that this is now our final segment of the night. You thought we had a little more time. But you were going to talk about the names of our Jewish friends who hold positions of power in certain committees. And I actually got to coincide with that. One of our big fans here in Memphis, his name is Bill. And everybody's Bill tonight. We were talking about Bill Rowland passed away 2 years ago this week.
God bless Bill Rowland.
We read a letter from Bill in Chino, California, who said, I'll read this one more time. It was
okay,
so nice.
Yeah, let me hear it.
He said, yesterday, February 4th, was my 63rd birthday. Want to start my year off right by sending you a donation. Keep up the good work. That comes from Billy the Bullhorn in Chino, California. He sent us $20. And now we got another Bill here in Memphis. So Bill Rowland, Billy the Bullhorn in Chino, and then Bill here in Memphis. But Bill sent us in Memphis a list of the 50 most influential Jews in the world. And it's just amazing. You got to read this list, folks. It was too long for me to post at thepoliticalcesspool.org because it goes into the biographies of each of these Jewish individuals. But the 50 most powerful Jewish people in the world and what they own and what they are the heads or the CEOs or the presidents of. It is, I mean, absolutely every lever of power is in that top 50 list, and it is controlled by Jewish interests. So, Eddie, you were going to get into that. We don't have the time now with only a few minutes remaining to really give it a detailed treatment. But I will coincide when we come back next week in your third hour. We'll start with that.
Yeah.
And we'll
and with my list.
We'll weave into your list and what you were going to mention here in this segment, the list we got from one of our listeners here in Memphis, and tie the two together. And the question is asked. Now, I know the modern-day definition of an anti-Semite is anyone who openly disagrees with a Jewish person.
Anyone that the Jews don't like.
Right, anyone the Jews don't like. But, you know, you have to ask, okay, it's great that they've ascended to this. You know, let anyone who can attain success go after it and get it. But we have reserved the right as free-thinking individuals to say, you know what, these people are anti-Christian, they're anti-white, they're anti-Western civilization. They certainly use their immense power and influence to harm our people in many ways. If it's not the filth and poison coming out of Hollywood, it's the filth and poison that we're taught in universities. So is it good that they hold this much power based upon the beliefs that they advocate? And well, this is a question we ask. We're going to talk about that much more next week. But there is one thing, though, because this is going to be old news by next week, whereas this is what we just mentioned will be something we can talk about then. I called you this week. I've still got a cold.
We all do.
I've been sick all week.
We can't get rid of the weather
penicillin. But feels like I was swallowing a handful of razor blades earlier this week.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But we're still here doing the show.
We're fighting on.
I called you this week, and we were talking about the great stand. And we talked about this earlier in the first hour, so we don't have a lot of time to spend on this, and we only have a few minutes remaining anyway. But Keith and I covered in the first hour the great stand, and we're behind him 100% that Judge Roy Moore made in Alabama. But I was talking with you, Eddie, about how he ran to distance himself from yours truly, the political cesspool, and Michael Peruca. Now, this is a guy that will defy the federal government, just as Paul Bebeau will defy the Mexican drug cartels, but they run like scalded dogs from being called an R word by the Southern Poverty Law Center and their whores in the media. It doesn't really make sense, does it? I mean, this is a guy, Roy Moore, who, again, I support, and I'm not dogging him, but, it, you know, full disclosure and all, and it was in the Montgomery Advertiser, first page above the fold. And so it's on the record, you know, that he denounced us, basically. And, you know, this was a guy who was in Vietnam, and people were trying to kill him in Vietnam because he was such a staunch disciplinarian and such a, you know, a hard case. They were talking about rolling grenades under his bed to kill this guy. Right. So he's obviously been a guy that's been, you know, a fighter all of his life, but he'll allow a word to make him run. He's defying the entire federal government in the true spirit of Robert E. Lee in Alabama. But he's scared of an association with Michael Peruca?
You know, that's the most... That is the most puzzling situation I can ever think about. We've talked about that 100 times, maybe 1,000 times, James. I'll be danged if I can figure that out. You're right. He's you know, George Roy Moore is one of my big time heroes.
Look, he can say whatever he wants to say to the media. I think obviously he agrees with us on most issues, whether he's going to admit it or not. Irregardless, I support him what he's doing with the queer marriage issue.
You know, and we talked about this too. If he really wanted to gain power, if he would stand up like Pat Buchanan did, and like God bless him, the congressman out of North, Walter Jones out of North Carolina. We had a sitting United States congressman come on here, about a year and a half ago, James, Congressman Walter Jones out of North Carolina, sitting United States congressman, and he held his guns. He did not denounce us after he was attacked wide open. You know, all the same old, you know, ADL, all the same old hate groups that hate us attacked him. He did not fold. And he was elected in a landslide, reelected in a landslide.
And Michael Peruca, I might add, yeah, after he donated $50,000 to Roy Moore's campaign, was elected to public office just back in November. So, and Michael Peruca, one of the most Christian, decent guys, constitutionalist, Constitution Party presidential candidate. But, you know, what Roy Moore said was he couldn't go along with our position on secession. And, of course, they called us white supremacists and mentioned that the ADL had called us white supremacists, which is anybody, of course, who doesn't hate white people. That's the modern-day definition of that. And he said, no, I don't go along with that. I don't go along with secession. But, listen, secession is truly the only option, I believe, that the southern states have. It was true in 1861. It's just as true today. You have an out-of-state, unelected judge telling Alabama what position they're going to take on issues, even though 81% of Alabamians voted against homosexual marriage. One judge overrules the state laws and the state constitution. What recourse do we have other than secession? But he's going to be made to be put on the run by the same media and the same groups that hate him. Anyway, we've covered that enough. I don't want to leave a bad taste in people's mouth about this guy because he's worthy of our support. But it's
James,
crazy.
If the guy, and you know what? Judge Roy Moore knows the Constitution. Michael Peruca knows the Constitution. We do have other options available to us, and they're legal options. They're of the Constitution. What they do, and Roy Moore knows this, you nullify under the Constitution. And we talked about this till I'm almost tired of it. You know, we talked about, Mulberry versus Madison. Keith loves to talk about that till the cows come home. But that's not the only ruling, but of the Supreme Court, you know, of the Constitution. But the Constitution allows us, the Declaration of Independence, it says to any time, you know, if you read down about that first, about third paragraph, I usually have my Constitution with me, I don't tonight. But it says that when this government, any time the government becomes harmful to the people, to we the people, it's the right of the people to alter or to abolish that government and institute new government that seems most likely to them to protect their rights. It's right there in the Constitution. What you do is you abolish the government. But you when any time an illegal ruling is made by this out of state judge that tells Alabama, the out of state judge is the one breaking the law, and Roy Moore knows that. Roy Moore, I wish you were listening. You're probably not, but you need to get up on your hind legs and follow the Constitution, and you tell the guy that he's passing that law to go to hell. He's passing illegal ruling. Any ruling that some clown judge passes that's repugnant to the Holy Bible, that's repugnant to the Constitution of the United States, is dead on arrival. It's to be treated as it never even existed. And if he has to do it, you call out the state militia. You call out the National Guard. And you defend the Constitution of the United States. And first and foremost, you defend the Constitution of Alabama. Let me tell you what. The federal government did not create the states. The states created the federal government. You know, politicians, you have to realize that. And I know you know it. If some, you know, redneck like me knows it, you know it. You have to get on your hind legs. And that leads me back to common law. I'm going to tell you what, James, you know this.
Got about 30 seconds.
We'll probably have to cover this next. The only law, all law is force. All government is force. That's all it is. Whoever's got the biggest guns, whoever's got the most guns, and whoever's got the gonads to use those guns, that's who's going to make the law. I prefer the Christians like me and James Edwards and like you people out there, we make the law. Pretty soon, we're going to have to stand up on our hind legs and tell the IRS to go to hell, and we're not paying our stinking taxes anymore if you're going to keep supporting all these homosexuals and all these reprobates. You know, we're going to have to start negating all these illegal rulings, and we're going to have to hold the law. We're going to have to hold the safeguard the Constitution like we've been doing here in the cesspool. That's what we're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you, I was traveling back, and I know we only have just a couple of seconds remaining, but you can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org, ladies and gentlemen, and get a look at this picture. You know, I was on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and when I was driving back from Florida, right there on I-75 going south, there was a huge billboard that said secede, and it had the website to the League of the South. I took a picture of that while I was driving at 80 miles an hour, posted it to the website with a good commentary. Secession is definitely an option that should be in play and one to be considered. We gotta go. We'll be back next week. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Good night.